The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again at the house, and Thomas was with them. All the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." And Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So I'm not sure who was here on Easter Day, because I wasn't here Easter Day. I was at my home parish in Tavistock. But for those of you who were here last Sunday, did you notice anything unusual? Well, the Alleluias were back in the liturgy. The songs that were sung spoke of new life and had a definite joyous ring to them. There was special music. There was an anticipation in the air that something glorious and awesome needed to be celebrated. Well, after the solemn events of Holy Week, I'm sure that everybody was in an excited and joyous mood. Indeed, it was Easter Sunday, the most holiest days in our church calendar. We proclaimed and we celebrated the greatest news in all the world. We rejoiced in the fact that Jesus died for our sins so that we may have eternal life through our faith and our belief in Christ. It was a day, it seemed, when everything came together, except for the offering prayer. Anybody notice that what Doug had wasn't the same that was in your bulletin? We all make mistakes. My apologies. Maybe I should have said anything nobody noticed. Well, it was almost perfect. Well, on that last Sunday, hope filled our souls. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. So, where is everybody today? I've been a pastor for 17 years, and every Sunday after Easter is the same year after year after year. That's just the way it goes. We don't expect the crowds that we have on Easter Day to come the next Sunday and continue the excitement and the joy. Were we not inviting enough that people didn't come back? Were the songs not uplifting enough for some people? Was not our good news of Christ's victory over death not enough to bring everybody back and fill the pews again this week? Where is everybody today? Our message remains the same as Easter Day. The invitation is still there for people to come, yet the pews are not as small. One might think that we should be filled to the rafters in attendance this Sunday after hearing what we heard and sung, what we sang and prayed what we prayed. The glorious news of victory over death, eternal life in heaven, salvation from sin. Man, that is some good news, but how long does it last? If everybody took everything that they heard last week in the heart, they would be standing room only in this place. They would be lined up and down. Cars would be parked on the road. So what happened? What went wrong? Where are all the people? Perhaps Easter for many is just a charming historical event that was reenacted last Sunday. Maybe today people have difficulty believing in the resurrection, doubtful that it ever happened. There's lots of programs on TV that just try and disprove that the resurrection happened. So maybe they're watching too much documentaries. Maybe people have other priorities. Maybe they had to work today. Maybe they had to sleep in. Maybe they went out for breakfast. I don't know. But in many cases, it seems like many people returned home, back to their lives, largely unchanged. So the question that comes to mind, does this mean that we are witnessing the demise of the power of the Easter story? There's been comment that it was probably easier to believe back then than it is today, because they were closer to the time that Jesus actually walked the earth and was present in their lives in a very physical way. Or is it possible that believing the Christian story was just as hard back then as it is today? Maybe Thomas is not just a symbol of our time, finding it hard to believe in the Easter story. It seems like he really had difficulty believing in the resurrection. Maybe it was just as difficult for many others who first heard that proclamation, although it just happened, that Jesus had risen from the dead. Not all of those people who witnessed the resurrection back then became believers. The number of resurrection believers seems quite small, actually. There were no huge numbers of people who suddenly became Christians that Easter Sunday. Most of them stuck with their Jewish traditions. They went back to the synagogues, to their beliefs. And then there were those, perhaps maybe the majority, that held no religious views at all. The resurrection was no instant, no fail success selling hotcakes to a gospel-hungry world. But even more difficult, I find, is that the inner circle, the very people that walk with Jesus, they didn't get it either. They found it difficult to believe his ethic, not certain that humility and suffering would do any good in the world or bring about anything good. They could see no sense in Jesus putting himself in danger by hustling up to Jerusalem on the Passover when tensions were high and violence was just around the corner. Even Jesus' mother and his immediate family, they missed the whole point. They suspected that Jesus was mentally ill. They did not see the spirit within him. They thought it was mental illness. Nor could anyone initially find it thinkable to believe that out of death, Jesus's or theirs, could anything good come about. So does this mean that the demise of the power of the Holy Spirit, of the resurrection, is upon us? Does it no longer hold any power on us the day after? It sounds like faith has always been difficult. One of the biggest discussions I have with a lot of prisoners is doubt, lack of faith. What is faith? What happened to my faith? Will I ever have faith again? Faith has never come easily. It's never come in a form that delivers us from all doubt. Certainty seems always out beyond faith's reach. Today there are churches and traditions that tell us that they will help us believe beyond all doubt. And usually they hold up the Bible, telling us that the answers to all our questions are in the Bible. Faith is in its pages. All we have to do is read and we'll have faith. Yet we read and most of us remain unsatisfied. We know that faith, as it was with Thomas, as it is today, is synonymous with struggle. But we also know that in an honest struggle comes perceptiveness and understanding and growth in faith. Hearing the Easter story once a year is not enough. Hearing the Easter story every week is not enough. We cannot claim the power of the resurrection if we don't know the story, if we don't live that story every moment of our lives, deeply, inside and out. We must know it not only in our heads, but also in our spirits. Peter says, we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who have faith. As we live faithfully, the Spirit is present. We need to listen for God's voice every single day. Even if it's just taking a few moments to sit down in silence and contemplate what God is doing in our lives. Moments like this will allow us to become more aware of God the rest of the day as we carry on. The more we feel grounded, the more that we are able to make decisions that are courageous rather than fearful, not only on big issues of the day, but also little small ones that seem to be full of our lives these days. It's not so much the large ones, it's the accumulation of all the little ones in our lives. So to those of you who have returned this day, your faith is honorable amongst the masses. You have come back without the trumpets, the lilies, in some cases the new clothes, without the pomp and circumstance that we felt last Sunday. You know the good news. You've come to hear it again. You believe and you love the Lord without evidence of having seen him in person. And this speaks volumes of the depth of your faith, considering the hands-on, proof-positive Thomas world in which we live in. That is a world of doubt. Believing without seeing in today's society is almost unheard of, which makes all of your faith much more significant. Indeed, you are a faithful lot, being here the Sunday after Easter, when others have chosen other priorities to consume their Sunday. You have heard the good news, and you have returned. This is a faithfulness that extends beyond the Sunday doors of the church and into the extraordinary and ordinary moments of our everyday lives and the lives of others. Our numbers today might not be huge, but this is what faithfulness is all about. This is what bonds us together. The everlasting power of the resurrection of Christ. So are we witnessing the demise of the power of the Easter story? I don't believe so. I believe that there is hope. It sounds like the Sunday after the original Easter was a big disappointment as well. But there is hope. It sounds like faith was a struggle from the beginning. But there is hope. It sounds like the church has endured many downs. But there is hope. And the source of that hope, then and today and in the future, comes from the power of this Easter story, from the everlasting power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only are we called to proclaim each and every Sunday that Christ is risen, but we are called to proclaim each and every moment of our lives that Christ is risen. That is the power of God's resurrection. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.